Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
Welcome to Berean Bible Fellowship. As today we once again return to the book of Genesis, to the biblical account, to the record that has been given to us by God Himself, of how in 6 days He created the heavens and the earth. And on the sixth day of His creation, we have already seen how He created the animals of the land, how He made the birds of the air, the fish of the sea. But we're also told that on that day, He created the crown of His creation. He created man in His own image. Only mankind has the capacity to worship God in spirit and in truth. Only mankind has the capacity to love the Lord God above all else. Only we have the capacity to understand our need for the forgiveness of our sin. So only we who come to Christ for the salvation of our soul will spend eternity with Him in the glory of heaven forever. And though in chapter 2, we have already seen how God created man from the dust of the earth, from the minerals of the ground, we have not yet seen how God created woman. Perhaps He was saving the best for last. So, as we come to verse 18 of Genesis chapter 2, we still find ourselves on the sixth day of creation, where we are told, "Then the Lord God said, it is not good," tov in Hebrew, "it is not beneficial. It is not in His best interest for the man to be alone," bad in Hebrew. "It's not good for the man to be by himself. After all, we have already been told in Genesis 1:27 that God wanted man to be fruitful and to multiply and to fill the earth. And obviously, that would require both a male and a female. A life of solitude may work for some. In fact, God may call some of us to that lifestyle. But in the beginning, we see that God has created man to function in a relationship with a woman. So, creation is not yet complete, is it? There was no woman. Then we're told in verse 18, God said, "I will make for him a helper," ezer in Hebrew, "a partner, one who will balance him, one who will supply what he lacks, one who will be supplied with what she lacks. A couple who are equal in the sight of God, but a couple with different roles, a couple with different responsibilities within the marriage. A couple with different strengths that are to be utilized in their relationship in order to carry out the will of God. That's what marriage is all about, isn't it? Man needed a helper. As we're told in Psalm 54, verse 4, where it says, God is my helper. He helps us to do what we could not do if we were alone and by ourselves. A helper, God says in verse 18, that will be suitable for him. Neged in Hebrew. A unique creation, one who will stand in front of him and who will be worthy of him. And such a partner had not yet been created by God. Now, we're told in verse 19, we know that out of the ground, the Lord God had already formed every wild beast of the field and every bird of the air. And when God brought those animals to the man who was named Adam, Adam was given the responsibility to see, it says, Ra'ah. In Hebrew, he was given the assignment to determine what he would call each of those animals. And whatever the man called those living creatures, that was its name. He had the final word. And as the representative of God on earth, the man gave names to all the cattle, to all the domesticated animals. He gave names to all the birds of the sky, and he gave names to every wild beast of the field. It was a busy day for Adam. He had just been created, and right away he was put to work. But among the countless number of animals that he saw that day, we are told in verse 20 that there was not found a helper that was suitable for him. None of those animals had been created in the image of God. So in what was the first surgical procedure by the first surgeon, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, Nafal in Hebrew. He caused sleep to settle in upon him. He was out like a light, and so he felt no pain. And so he slept, we're told, for a time. And then God took one of his ribs, Selah in Hebrew. He cut into his side, and he took flesh and bone. And then he closed up that flesh, sager in Hebrew. He tightly shut that place up. He instantly healed Adam, and he restored him. And then, it says, the Lord God fashioned bana. In Hebrew, he reconstructed into a woman the rib, the flesh, and the bone, which he had taken from the man. This was a unique creation, wasn't it? Something that had not been done before. A perfect creation for Adam. And then God brought the woman to the man, and the man responded to what God had created for him, and overflowing with emotion, Adam composed the first love song. Though I've never seen it written on a greeting card, or I've never heard it played on the radio. But in verse 23, he said, "This one is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman." Isha in Hebrew, which really means soft, the soft one, the most beautiful of all of God's creation, the one who had been designed by God for the man, the one that he was to value, the one who would be a part of him, at his side forever, just as she had been taken from his side. And she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Ish in Hebrew. Taken out of her husband. Taken out of the one who was the keeper of the earth. And in verse 24, God responded to Adam, and he said, "For this reason, since this relationship between a man and a woman is to be the foundation of society and will result in blessing if you follow this plan, here is the way that you should live. A man shall leave behind his father and his mother, and a new household should begin. And so the man shall be joined to the woman." Davach in Hebrew. "He shall hold fast to her, forsaking all others. And they shall become one flesh, physically united, spiritually united, living in harmony and in unity." This is the way that it was from the beginning. This is the design plan of God for marriage. The plan for us. And we're told in verse 25 that the man and the woman were both naked. Arom in Hebrew. Not only were they physically naked, since the weather was always perfect, but there was no vanity. There was nothing to try and hide. And so they were not ashamed. Bush in Hebrew. They were not anxious. They were not fearful. They were not full of wicked thoughts or of concerns. There was only integrity in their marriage, in their relationship. They cherished one another. They trusted one another. They nourished one another. They were satisfied with the roles that God had assigned to each of them. There was only perfect love between the man and the woman. And as we are told in Genesis 1:31, "Then, when God saw all that he had made, he saw that it was all very good." Their marriage was honorable. It was undefiled. As Peter said in 1 Peter 3:7, marriage is the grace of life, the undeserved favor of God, his divine provision for us, his blessing upon us, a responsibility that should bring honor and glory to his name. But we know that's not the way it is today among many people. And if this is not the way that it is in your marriage, if this doesn't describe what's going on there, thank God that there is forgiveness. Thank God that there is restoration for us. Thank God that there is hope in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.